Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now though, concerns about advanced artificial intelligence have been fodder for science fiction authors and Hollywood directors for decades. But this week, a group of concerned technology industry executives and academics signed an open letter calling for a pause on large open experiments with modern AI. One of the people who signed that letter is Sean O'Hegarty, who's acting director with the Centre for the Study of Existential Risk at Cambridge University. And Sean joins me now. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. So if you and all of the policymakers and technical researchers and titans of the tech business world, if you're worried about artificial intelligence, does that mean that we should be worried too?
I don't know if it means that everyone should necessarily be worried, but I do think that it's a good time to have a conversation around the rate of progress and whether we should be proceeding a little bit more cautiously. Mm-hmm. We've heard a lot recently from the leading tech companies about how they feel like they're in a race to get these models out to the market, and we've already seen some problems with them. Microsoft Sydney went a bit off the rails and told a journalist that it loved them. Meta had to recall their Galactica system because it was just making up scientific information that was false. And we think that we should proceed with a little bit more caution and figure out both the surprising capabilities of these new systems and the potential problems and misuses that they might pose.
Okay, but if we look at someone like Elon Musk signing this letter as well, like, some people would look at him and say, well, he might not want disruptors to come into the industry so that he can retain as much control of emerging technologies as possible.
I guess that could be the case. I associate Musk more these days with, space company and renewable energy cars. I don't know how big a player he is in the artificial intelligence space, but mm-hmm. I guess one could have that motivation. I imagine there are a lot of people with different motivations signing this letter.
Yeah, look, we've discussed OpenAI's the GPT-4 on this programme a lot lately. Every week, it seems, there's a new development because it's opened up, as you described there earlier, such a can of worms for so many sectors. Do you believe, though, that subsequent advances need to be paused now just for us to allow its capabilities to be studied in detail so we know exactly what it might be able to do?
I think at some point in the next couple of years, a pause might be necessary. I don't know if it's this year. I did sign the letter, but in part my signature was because I think it's time to have the conversation around this. I think it might be possible. I was quite surprised at the advances in capabilities between the last model and this one. Suddenly, this one seems to be able to do maths at a high level. It seems to be able to pass the bar exam and perform well on the SAT. At the same time, it clearly doesn't have a meaningful understanding of the world in other ways. But that doesn't mean that it couldn't have a really big disruptive impact on industries. People will find ways to use it to help with nefarious things like cyber hacking. And it's proving very difficult for those of us who are thinking about the governance and risk and implications of it to keep up.
Mm-hmm. A good example of this is the way AI beat the CAPTCHA system. So people will know if you're trying to log on to a site, you might be asked to click the pictures that show traffic lights, for example, proving that you're not a robot. But AI came up with a way, did it, Sean, to beat this?
It nearly did. So it came up with a lot of the steps, including finding a automated server or service for beating CAPTCHAs, hiring a human worker to get past the CAPTCHAs you needed to access it, and coming up with a plausible excuse to the human worker why it needed it. It claimed that it had a visual impairment. However, it did need human assistance at a few of these steps to reason through it. So it wouldn't have been able to do it on its own. Now, the big question for me is, if that's what GPT-4 can do, is GPT-5 or 6 or whatever the subsequent version, is that able to kind of execute on this plan that the other one got some of the way, but not all of the way? And I think these are the big questions. Do we get, between successive generations, systems that are suddenly able to do things that really weren't within the grasp of the previous ones, whether it's beating CAPTCHAs or fooling humans in other ways so that they don't know they're interacting with an AI system, or finding ways to identify and exploit vulnerabilities in code.
So is it learning how to think like a human?
Well, that's another really big question. A lot of people would argue that it's a very complicated pattern matching that's happening inside these systems, and that's nothing like human thinking. I think that's probably right. On the other hand, they do seem to be able to do something equivalent to what looks like a level of common sense reasoning beyond what we might expect from these capabilities. It really does seem that experts are still divided on actually what's happening inside these systems and what the limitations are, which again, I think is enough reason for further exploration and caution.
So you just say it might be time pretty soon to just have a closer look at this before it progresses more. Would it ever be possible to do that? I mean, do you see that there is consensus around that emerging?
I think it will become possible. If you look at the materials that OpenAI released around GPT-4, one thing they mention is that they delayed the release of GPT-4 by about 8 months because they wanted to do a lot of rigorous testing. They voluntarily involved a lot of outside groups to do red teaming and evaluations and to see what the kind of harms could be, which I thought were all very positive steps. I guess what I would like to see in coming years is this not happening on a sort of voluntary basis. I think we can't rely on only kind of trusting people voluntarily to test these systems. I'd love to see a mature process for standards and auditing of these systems across the board rather than on a voluntary basis.
The centre where you work sounds intriguing. The Centre for the Study of Existential Risk, Sean. What do you do there?
We work on big emerging risks that are particularly relevant to the 21st century, if you will. So we have people working on climate change, emerging biotechnologies, pandemics. Artificial intelligence has been a topic for us all along, in part because AI might help us with a lot of the challenges we face, such as in things like climate modeling, but also because the advances that artificial intelligence might bring us could pose risks of their own, including military uses or kind of unexpected consequences of developing what are essentially thinking machines.
Sean, it's fascinating. I suspect we will talk to you again. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today. That's Sean O'Hegarty, Acting Director with, as I say, the Centre for the Study of Existential Risk at Cambridge University. Dermot Amari, our gardeners, will be with us after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.